Working on trying to do some cementification of the computational chemistry codes, and specifically here the ones that didn't have anything, that's NWCAM and AMBER. So I'll be talking mainly about, I give a little bit of an introduction, so that covers both. And Mark will be talking a little bit about what he has done with AMBER later on. So if you really look at the cementification process, there's really two ways, and we've heard that already a couple of times. It's jumbo converters is one way to really deal with legacy, but one of the big problems there, of course, is that you cannot really, it's hard to maintain because software always changes. What I've also thought about a little bit is that CML, the CML that you generate for an output is also incomplete. Not all the information is in an output file. A good example is molecular orbitals if you want to do visualization. Trajectories for dynamics. But nowadays, more and more, the people are interested in looking for rare events in large-scale simulations. You might get the rare event, but you don't get the context of the simulation. I'll give you a couple of examples. I had these with me. So this is, for example, a real-time simulation of an electron density that is hit by a pulse. You can do multiple pulses, you can change the shape of the pulse. This is how you can actually talk to an experimentalist and try to explain what the process is that happens. Talking about some other examples, so working on surfaces, how is a reaction actually happening? The visualization of a dynamics result is very hard to capture right now in an output file. And it often requires a lot of post-processing. But somehow we need to get this into our framework for data. So that gets you to what's the right way, I think, to do the cementification is really to generate CML in the first place directly from the code. This allows us to really store all the relevant data. Also allows us to do potentially the kind of post-processing that you see there so you can get the right information that might be needed, or you might be able to make your information much more rich. I strongly believe that the direct production of CML within a code requires the commitment of the main developers of the code. You have a lot of people that work and say, "Oh, I'm going to do this." It never gets into the main tree. It doesn't get supported. So in the long run, it's not sustainable. So it's essential that you have the main developers stand behind it. So for NWCAM, I'm standing behind it, let's put it like that. It also requires complete dictionaries and conventions. And this is not just my soapbox. I saw an email this morning from Paul. Really, if you look at within the CompChem or the CML comp, there should be really one dictionary. I strongly believe there should be only one dictionary. There should not be one for each code. All computational chemistry uses the same physics, uses the same algorithms, so the data should have the same meaning. If it doesn't, if you have something special and it's only in one code, it cannot be important. Why would it be important if nobody else has it? So what have we done so far is we've been looking at how can we actually do the cementification with CML. So the focus has not been on the input, which would be a next step if you want to also generate a CML input. But we mainly want to get a CML-based output, and our focus is to use the CML library and the CML standards and XML standards. Then hopefully that gets then into the compound. But also for us at AMSOL, it's important to get it into MyAMSOL. These two things might not be independent of each other. They might actually have some connection with them. So where are we? If you look at what we have actually done within the last, I would say, 1.5 days, is NWCAM actually does now produce CML output. AMBER also does, and Mark will talk about that more. We also, when we were dealing with this, we're looking at some interesting extra Fox functionality that we might need, and that is really handling large lexical pieces of input. So an input file is actually a very key piece of data for reproducibility. You can try and extract it out of a CML file, but that's not always work. So you want to have the raw input file as a reference. So another camera, as I said, it produces now CML. It generally produces the CML compliant CML data. Took about a day and a half, a lot of quirks that we have to deal with. Mixing Fortran 77 and Fortran 95 is an interesting exercise on its own. What we did actually is, internally in NWCAM, we've always had a format called the ETCHE data storage that pushed it into our graphical interface. We actually built on top of that the CML-like infrastructure. And of course, we used the Fox library for this, which actually turned out to be very robust and very easy to install. Just to prove to you that we actually did, this is one of the CML outputs, so our CML files. There is still some little quirks in the sense that we had a compiler that wasn't too happy about dealing with changing spaces into underscores, but that will get fixed once I get home. So where am I going right now next with NWCAM? Is what I really want to do is I want to expand the amount of CML that is generated from NWCAM. There's much more information that I can now easily throw into a CML file. What's important though is that we do need to make sure that we get the CompCam dictionary and conventions up, because I can throw data in there, but if that the format or the conventions are changing, then it's a catch-22, then we have to redo it anyway. So the approach that I see happening is that we will have to develop the application dictionaries. Somebody will have to go and say, these are all the applications, let's go and do the cross-referencing and pull them up into the CompCam library. There should be nothing left if everything is done right. We also need within the CML, to our CML CompCam, we need to start thinking about how we deal with basis sets, potentials, and force fields. If you look at what we have done at PNNL, or specifically at AMSL, is actually we have generated an XML environment for basis sets, which we are actually looking at expanding into the pseudo potentials that are needed for plane wave codes. But there is a straightforward thought of, hey, you have also the amper force fields, all the other force fields. Now you have another problem, of course. A lot of people like to keep their potentials and their force fields to themselves, because that's what they make their money on. So how can we make that into an open source environment that everybody can use? And so I'm giving it over to Mark now to talk about